Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, the US President Donald Trump has arrived in Saudi Arabia for a three-day tour of the Gulf states. During the trip, the Qatari royal family will gift Mr. Trump a $400 million luxury Boeing jet to use as Air Force One. The gift has raised corruption concerns in the United States, as Mr. Trump is widely expected to donate the jet to his presidential foundation when he leaves office, enabling him to continue using it.
I think that was a very nice gesture. Now, I could be a stupid person and say, oh, no, we don't want a free plane. We give free things out. We'll take one, too. And it helps us out because, again, we're talking about we have 40-year-old aircraft. The money we spend, the maintenance we spend on those planes to keep them tippy-top is astronomical. You wouldn't even believe it. So I think it's a great gesture from Qatar. I appreciate it very much. I would never be one to turn down that kind of an offer. I mean, I could be a stupid person and say, no, we don't want a free, very expensive airplane.
Well, let's get the latest now. I'm joined by Chief Correspondent with Feature Story News, Simon Marks. And Simon, I'm watching these live pictures of the US President and the Saudi Crown Prince at a reception where Donald Trump is meeting lots of dignitaries in Saudi. But an interesting moment, and we saw Elon Musk chatting briefly during that reception for Donald Trump in Riyadh. And we might talk about that in a moment. But that news of the luxury jet gift from Qatar, how is that being reported in American media?
Yeah, well, those pictures from Riyadh, Claire, are indeed extraordinary. And the backdrop of the Qatari decision to gift Donald Trump this $400 million Boeing 7478. I think when the news broke on Saturday, it was first reported exclusively by ABC News. People actually couldn't believe it. Even some of Donald Trump's most stalwart supporters couldn't believe it. Laura Loomer, a far-right influencer, took to her social media account. And this is someone who has met regularly with Donald Trump before he was president and since he returned to the White House. She said on her social media account, "I love President Trump. I would take a bullet for him. I have to call a spade a spade. We cannot accept a $400 million quote unquote gift from jihadists in suits." She called the president's decision to accept the jet a stain on his record in office. This, though, is, I think, redolent of the fact that in his second term in office, Donald Trump has made it clear, and his sons have made it clear, that the doors of the White House are absolutely open for grift and business deals that blur the distinction between Donald Trump's role as President of the United States and Donald Trump's role as the prime mover in his own Trump Organization business. And remember back in January of 2017, when he first became president, the first term, there was an event that January, where reporters were summoned to watch Donald Trump flanked by piles of binders allegedly containing documents that were handing control of his business over to his family, that he was divesting himself from the Trump Organization. Reporters asked to see the documents and weren't allowed to see them, but Donald Trump signed with a flourish these documents. This time round, second term, there has not even been the pretense of an effort to divorce himself from his business empire. And this jet, which has obviously created a storm of controversy, the president doubling down and insisting he would be stupid to turn it down, is far and away the most valuable gift that any president of the United States has ever received from anywhere.
And President Trump, on this visit to the Middle East, is apparently telling aides that he wants over $1 trillion worth of trade and investment deals from this visit. And previous US presidents, we know, have traveled to the Middle East, but often it's to pursue perhaps peace deals or confront terrorist threats. And no one would deny that there's probably some business deals done on the side, but this does flip the priority list on its head, doesn't it, Simon?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it's not just in this trip to the Middle East. I mean, it was notable that after the president claimed credit for brokering the ceasefire between India and Pakistan over the weekend, his explanation for that was all trade related, that there was going to be a vast increase in trade between the US and India and the US and Pakistan as a result of the deal. Before Donald Trump arrived in Saudi Arabia, and remember, on this trip, he's visiting Saudi Arabia, the UAE and Qatar. His sons had been in Saudi Arabia, the UAE and Qatar, developing business deals for the Trump organization. Trade and the pursuit of trade often leads to the conflation of what is in America's interests with the interests of the president and his own family. But also, he argues, and his supporters argue, that it is very important to move the United States over to this kind of trade-based, economically driven foreign policy, because at the end of the day, that's the prime mover, especially for an American economy that now sees itself financing its government operations out of tariffs. I mean, Donald Trump's still hoping to move to tariffs to finance the economy, the revenues from those tariffs, in federal income tax. So this is, you know, this is a revolutionary government in every sense, and particularly in terms of its economic policies.
Now, we have heard that he is not visiting Israel, and you went through the list there, the UAE, Qatar, and of course Saudi Arabia, where he is this morning. Israel, as we heard earlier in the programme, Simon, slightly nervous because this deal to release the hostage Idan Alexander was done apparently between the Americans and Hamas, Israel saying that they were involved, but there's some doubt around that. So how upset will the Israelis be that Donald Trump is not going to have a meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu on this visit?
Well, it obviously will have been flagged ahead of time. I mean, we've known from the moment that this trip was announced by the White House that he would not be stopping in the Middle East. On that hostage release, by the way, the hostage's family was flanked by President Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff. So that definitely underscores the notion that it was the United States that was in the driving seat of negotiating that release. We're now seeing pictures of President Trump flanked by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, long line of dignitaries addressing both of them. I mean, beyond President Trump's presence, this also, these pictures speak volumes about the bounce back that Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia has enjoyed. It is complete following the disgrace and shame and opprobrium that was heaped on him following the murder in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul of Saudi American journalist Jamal Khashoggi. All of that now seemingly forgotten by this US government, as it was largely forgotten by the Biden administration in the back half of Joe Biden's period. Mm-hmm. The message to Israel in all of this, I think, is that Donald Trump, I mean, it's a snub. It is a snub to Benjamin Netanyahu that he hasn't traveled there, but they obviously remain very close political soulmates. I think Donald Trump is impatient and concerned with the pace of hostage releases, and also now Benjamin Netanyahu's threat to occupy the whole of Gaza, seize the entire scope of the Gaza Strip without having any long-term plan for its governance.
I don't know about you, Simon, but I just think it's extraordinary to watch these pictures. This has been going on for a long time now, this line of people coming up to speak to the Saudi Crown Prince and Donald Trump, because we're so used to seeing Donald Trump holding court in the Oval Office. He decides when the briefing starts, he decides when it ends. He's very willing, though, to stand there and meet all of these people over an extended period of time.
Yeah, this is the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman show more than the Trump show. I mean, it's been going on for at least 20 minutes now as a whole group of diplomats, executives, business leaders, you mentioned Elon Musk a little bit earlier, and others, get their opportunity to have literally some one-on-one FaceTime with the Crown Prince, with Donald Trump standing alongside him. I mean, I think it is a reflection of an entirely different US-Saudi relationship. Remember that this is Donald Trump's first overseas trip since he returned to the White House. And the first place that he has chosen to go is Saudi Arabia. And that's redolent of the investment opportunities that he thinks exist for the United States there, but also his comfort in terms of the relationship that he's established with the Saudi royal family.
Now, I need to ask you about Donald Trump's executive order yesterday around pharma. So we know he wants to lower drug prices for Americans who are paying for these things in their local pharmacy. Is the expectation, as people have a chance to think and parse through what he's announced, is the expectation that it can and will deliver?
Well, it's certainly not going to deliver the cuts in prices of up to 80% that the president predicted would occur as a direct result of signing that executive order, because, you know, all of these executive orders often express more ambition and aspiration than reality. But there's also no question that Donald Trump is talking about revolutionizing the supply of drugs to America. He spoke yesterday about a friend of his, an overweight friend of his, as Donald Trump explained it, who is taking some kind of treatment. It appeared to be Ozempic in an effort to combat his weight issues.
I think Donald Trump described it as the fat shot, didn't he?
The fat shot, exactly, precisely. And apparently this friend of Donald Trump's complained that he had paid $80 in the UK for a dose of Ozempic that in the United States was going to cost him $1,300. Mm-hmm. And that really appears to have spurred the president to life. I mean, I think while it's very muddled as to precisely what he's looking for here, it is apparent that as far as the country's trading partners are concerned, obviously including the EU and therefore Ireland, Donald Trump wants the United States to be given most favored nation status by those partners so that drug companies overseas would be forced to match the lowest price any drug sells for overseas when they are selling that drug to American customers. And again, tariffs, of course, come into this in a substantial way. I mean, tariffs are the muscular, visceral thing that Donald Trump reaches for whenever there's a problem that he wants to try and find a solution for. But you know, quite where all this goes, because it is an executive order. It's not backed up by any congressional action. All there are limits to what he can decree.
Simon, thank you so much for joining us from Washington. And the receiving line continues in Riyadh, with Donald Trump still shaking hands with a succession of men, it has to be said, mostly men in suits. He's been meeting them for the last 20 minutes or so with the Crown Prince in Saudi Arabia.